songs?
I'm going to start with Labor Day 2003.
Ooh.
Because I watched the highlights today, and I knew I was talking to you today.
Yeah.
I watched the highlights today, and Maxie's right there.
Yeah. I was right there. I was right there.
Hey, everybody. Really appreciate you downloading and joining us this week for Antler Up. Hey, the big weekend is here. Labor Day weekend has arrived. The Elks heading to Calgary for the game, of course, on Monday. They head to Calgary on a roll with two straight wins. Stampeders, meantime, going the other direction with three straight losses. Looking forward to what we hope will be a classic on Monday. You can hear the game on 630 CHED or the Elks Radio Network. You can, of course, watch it on TSN as well. Remember, the big difference this year on Labor Day, a 5 p.m. start time for the Elks and the Stampeders from McMahon Stadium Monday in Calgary. If you're going down, safe travels. If you're staying home, maybe head over to On the Rocks on Jasper Avenue for the team's watch party. It's the 20th anniversary this year of one of the most memorable Labor Day games, the 2003 Brawl. And our guest this week on Antler Up was right in the middle of it.
So first down over 20. First and 20, and Ray with Napastic in pursuit. Ricky Ray is going to take off with the ball, and he's forced out at the Eskimo bench, and the flag goes down there.
There's going to be
more than a flag.
Well, there's going to be some ejections now as we see the temper start to flare. We see some players getting thrown out.
The bench is clearing.
Sean Fleming.
Shades of the Flames and the Oilers. This a number of Stampeders coming across the field.
I tell you what, they're kind of picking through the pile, sorting out which guys they didn't want that scrum. And Sean Fleming, the kicker, got thrown out of there.
And for the first time in his career, Dan Kepley is a peacemaker.
Antler Up, episode 32, Demetrius Maxie. Let's go.
So, Coach, I was doing a deep dive on YouTube today, and I went down, typed in 2003 Labor Day Classic Calgary-Edmonton, and I watched a lot of the game. Man, oh, man, that was an interesting game. And then I saw the part that got the brawl started, right. And it was that hit on Ricky Ray on the sidelines. You were right there, man. You're playing for Calgary at the time. All of a sudden, coming into the scene, just as he gets hit out of bounds, there's number 91, Maxie.
Yes, sir.
What do you remember about that?
You know what? That it's been so many heated moments and good battles between Edmonton and Calgary, especially during Labor Day. Is no matter what the record is, it's just always a fun time and a good time because it's the Battle of Alberta.
So you saw the hit. Did you think, because it's right at the Edmonton bench, so are you thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be trouble right away?
Knew it was, because the game was heated already. Yeah. So, you know, that just sparked a little bit more and people that wanted to, that motivated them to want to fight, right? You know, that's what it's all about. It's the Battle of Alberta. So we was ready for it, and we wanted to spark that fight because I believe we won that game because it was in Calgary. That first game, or was it the second game that was in
yeah,
Edmonton?
It was like 38-0 the second game.
Yeah, it
right?
was 38-0 the yeah. second game, yeah. So it was kind of rough.
Everybody, you don't often see those kind of brawls, is the word everybody uses for in football, right?
Right.
You see some pushing and shoving, and then everybody parts. But this just wouldn't stop.
It was hate.
It looked like Davis Sanchez was talking a little bit, getting things heated up, and then Ed Hervey got into it, and it just when you think it was going to calm down, somebody else came in, and everybody erupted again.
That's right. It was a fight between the DBs and receivers, and the linemen and the running backs and the linebackers, the coaches, everybody was chirping throughout that game. But that's what made it fun. So you're not going to find anything else better than that. I played in Toronto and played against Hamilton, and, you know, the fans were more ruthless than the players were, you know what I mean, in that battle. But this is everybody is a fight because they fighting for the Battle of Alberta.
Do you remember? Did you get paired up with somebody? Do you remember?
They had so many good offensive linemen back then. You know, Prinny was here, and
Lefser was pretty
here.
Was pretty busy,
yeah, Lefser, all of that whole group, and you know, they just always it was always a battle against them, regardless if it was a Labor Day or not.
Did you see the helmet swing?
everybody saw the helmet swing. And I still talk to AJ to this day about the helmet swing and the helmet throw and the helmet toss and all of that above. So it's just a fight, you know what I mean? And you just got to be ready and ready for anything to happen in games like that.
We've seen some pretty heated games. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that, though, I think, in the history of the Battle of Alberta and the Labor Day game. But it was entertaining. I mean, do you, while you're playing a game like that, do you kind of understand, like, we're making some excitement here and, you know, people are going to be talking about this for a while?
Well, it's a show. They're going to talk about it regardless, right? So, but in a game like that, when you're facing a team that's been struggling throughout the year, it really doesn't matter what the record is. Those games are always going to be heated, and there's always going to be some type of strange thing that happened throughout the game. And unfortunately, it happened during that game against us, and it wasn't good, but it was great entertainment. It
certainly was. You were 4 years, I think, in Calgary. 5 years,
yes,
in Calgary.
Yes.
You were 3-2 in Labor Day games, so you're okay with that. As a player. You're now on the other side as a coach. Hasn't gone so well a lot of years, has it?
It has, and you know what? Because Calgary, they are a tough team, and you know, they're a great team, and they got a lot of good history over there. We have it here, but we've been struggling the past few. It's going to be a fight, and we're going to let the dogs out this game because I believe them boys are ready to fight.
You won in 21 down there. That ended, I think it was an eight or nine year drought. Last win, I think, was 2011.
That's right.
In the Labor Day game, and you weren't there yet as a coach.
There,
so it's been a long time. Regardless, it's a cool game because it doesn't matter what the record is. It doesn't matter what's on the line. It's Labor Day, and it's everybody's going.
You enjoying the weather. You know what I mean? You enjoying the times that you're spending with your friends and family. And everybody's involved, you know what I mean? It's just not the players, it's just not the coaches, it's just not the organizations, it's the community, you know. So it's just something to talk about, and they're gonna do it, and you know, I hear it when I go back to Arizona, you know what I mean? So it's a big rival that carries over to the United States.
You got a bunch of young pups on your team this year. Guys in their first year, guys in their second year, guys who haven't gone through this game. What's the approach with them as a coaching staff? Do you tell them about the game, or do you just let them experience it?
You sort of use the rivals in college, you know, because that's what they're familiar with, and you tell them that it's twice the size of that and the experience of that. And, you know, it's something that we believe in as an organization, that we got to be the most dominant team in Alberta. We always talk about being the most dominant team, period, but we got to win the Battle of Alberta. And, you know, a lot of these young guys, they haven't experienced it, they haven't seen it, and they haven't, attacked the environment yet, you know. But once they get there and they see it, they understand and they feel what we've been talking to them about throughout the entire week.
And they've all these guys played at some of them played at some big time colleges, and they know rivalries, right? It's football's football, and rivalries are rivalries. So it's not a new experience for them. It's just a new experience for them at McMahon Stadium.
No doubt. Yeah. And McMahon Stadium is, you know, like I said, got a lot of
You can
of
say
history.
Dump if you want.
I can't say that, but you know, I still respect that team, but it's going to be a dogfight, and I really believe that these young boys that we do have, they're going to let them know who they are and who we are when we play that game.
Team's better than the stadium, I will give you that for sure. You finished your career in Calgary.
Yes.
You started your career in Baltimore,
yes,
and
sir,
did something that probably no one's ever going to do again.
That's right.
You were on an American team. The Baltimore, were you the Stallions then, or were you the CFLers? You were the Baltimore Stallions. You were on a team that won, an American team that won the Grey Cup.
That's right.
What was that like? What do you remember about that year?
Well, you know what, that year we knew, well, I was in college the year before, and then I came in, and that's all the team talked about was getting back to the Cup, and they pretty much had a solid returning team coming into that year. And I was just the extra piece what they were missing to play defensive line. And I happened to be around a great group of guys that helped me along the way and guided me and pointed me in the right direction so I can, you know, be a solid player. And I ended up, you know, being a solid player for a long time and embracing that opportunity what the CFL gave me. And those boys, man, it wasn't just the team, it was the community, because anybody that went to that stadium, Memorial Stadium, they felt everybody in the stadium. And the Americans that were there that didn't know anything about CFL at the beginning of the year, they knew everything about the CFL by the end of the year.
I do remember a pretty diehard fan base.
Oh, man.
And even a few years or several years after, there's groups from Baltimore who travel to the Grey Cup every year.
That's right. Every year. You see them at the Grey Cup, and they always embracing. Everybody always embraced them, right, because that was a special year. And too bad it had to end sooner than later, but, you know, it is what it is, and we here just – having fun right now.
Yeah, you won the Grey Cup, but you had the parade in Montreal.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was a trip, and I didn't care for that too much. But you know, we did have a big bash at the pier in Baltimore, and it was probably about tens of thousands of people that was there that attended that. So cool. That was great.
Because of labor laws in the States, they couldn't enforce the ratio with the American teams, right?
So right.
Did you have any Canadians on that team? Do you remember?
No. Didn't. I don't believe we had any Canadians, but we had a lot of guys that obviously played in the CFL before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't believe we had any Canadians.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
That was your first year.
That was my
first
year.
And you played 13, 14 in the CFL, right?
13.
13 years 13 in the Canadian Football League. You win in Baltimore. The team moves to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make it through the season with the Alouettes, though, right? Tell me, you ended up in Toronto to finish the year.
Don ended up picking me up mid-season. And, you know, I ended up staying in Toronto for the next 5 seasons. And it was a great opportunity for me there. I had fun, and being back with Don was a plus, because I needed his type of coaching. When I was in Montreal, it wasn't good for me.
Tell me about Don Matthews.
Strong, intelligent, you know, players coach. I know a lot of people didn't really care for Don, but Don was a good man, and he just understood his players, and he understood what he had, and he worked around his players and let them do what they did best. And ran away with how we played.
The coaching tree that falls off of him is incredible, right?
That's
including
right.
Chris Jones.
That's right.
Right, and you know, the group of coaches still in the CFL that coached with him and learned from him. It's a pretty long list.
It is, and you know, his thought process of coaching and leading a team is not going to change. And whoever was around Don, you know, they knew who he was and how he was, and they always tried to emulate how he worked around things, and he did a good job doing it, and that's why he was one of the top
coaches
in the league.
Do you see a lot of Don in Chris Jones?
Similarities. You know, everybody's different, but I see it sometimes, and I tell them that when I see it. But, you know, just they totally different people, but I see a few little things that Don used to say or do in him, obviously. And he picked up on a lot of the defense that we ran and made it his own.
So year one, you win the Grey Cup in Baltimore. Year two, you go from Montreal to Toronto and win the Grey Cup in Toronto.
Yes, sir.
That's in 1996. 1997, you win the Grey Cup in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
What happened in 98, man?
Oh, that's when the team just changed completely. Everybody left, and we just
after
had to
two
rebuild.
Straight wins.
Oh
right?
Yeah, after two straight wins, everybody, and then we had an older team too, right? So a lot of those guys were older. You know, we lost Drummond, and we lost a few of those other guys that were key factors on offense, and you know, we just had to rebuild with a bunch of young guys, like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I have a vision of you after your third season, 3 seasons in the league, 3 Grey Cup rings. You're just sitting back with your feet on a desk, smoking a cigar, going, this is easy, man.
Yeah, I thought it was going to happen every year. But I was, hey, the truth came about in 98, 99, and it was tough.
It's about winning, but it's not all about winning, right, when you're playing pro sports?
People pay to see winners. So, you know, you want to win, and you want to do it for yourself and your family first. Then you want to do it for your team and for the community second, right? So, in my eyes, when you play in a professional sport, it is all about winning. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to win.
But I'm getting to the point where you don't win, but you still make friendships, build relationships, and have fun, and have your moments along the way, right?
I still talk to a bunch of guys, just like the other day when Terry Vaughn got inducted. All of those guys were there and played against them and worked with them, and we talked about old times and how things changed so swiftly and how it seemed like it was yesterday, right? So, you make those relationships, you make those bonds, and you know, of course, that's definitely a part of, you know, playing organized sports.
So we've kind of gone over your CFL resume: Baltimore, Montreal, Toronto. You ended up going to Saskatchewan for a couple of years, back to Toronto. In 2003, at least Wikipedia says this, you played for the Indiana Firebirds in the Arena Football League.
Yeah, that was tough.
How'd you end up there?
You know what? I ended up there because I went to the Indianapolis Colts, and then they saw me playing there, and because I got released from the Colts, and then the Indiana Firebirds Arena Football Team gave my agent a call and said, "Hey, he might as well stick around and stay here." And I stayed. I don't think I had an offer yet coming back to the CFL in that 2003 year. And then right at the end, Jim Barker gave me a call and asked if I wanted to come back to Calgary. And I said, well, I'm waiting around because I'm supposed to go back to the Colts. And then that didn't happen, and Barker called, and then I just made that move and decision to go to Calgary.
And so the Arena League, they play before, right?
In the fall
they play, winter
in
and
January,
spring. Right?
Yep, yeah. It was in January.
So, and then you stepped into a CFL season, and I think you played 18 games that year.
I played every game.
How many arena games did you play?
I played in 12 arena games.
Yeah, and that's like human pinball,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I know Manny Arsenault told me he played arena football, and he said it was more physical than anything he's ever played.
Well, because you're playing on that hard turf, you know, they didn't really put no cushions down, you know.
And the boards.
The boards. You running into the walls. Everything is happening in a phone booth, right? So it's rapid fire with everything. So we think it's rapid fire here, but in the arena, you got to play offense and defense. If you don't start off playing offense or defense, you can't play for a whole quarter. So that's how that went. So it was nonstop.
So you played a full arena season, and then you played a full CFL season back to back.
Actually, I played a full arena season. I left with going into the playoffs because I had to start preparing, getting ready for the CFL season at the end of May. Mm-hmm. So I left 2 weeks early to get my body a rest, and then I jumped right into training camp in Calgary.
How'd the body feel at the end of the CFL season?
Done.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was fun because I had a great experience, and actually it brought a better movement to my game, right? So just working in a smaller frame and trying to get to the quarterback instead of, you know, working wide, and I work my moves nice and tight. So it was fun, and it was a great experience.
Your last season was 2007.
Yes.
Did you decide? A lot of times players don't get to decide.
I was
done. Over.
You know, my body, I probably could have played in squares like three more seasons in. Actually, Jim Pop gave me a call, and he wanted me to come in over in Montreal after I decided to retire. But I chose to stay in Calgary and try and work on my second life with becoming a scout. So I did that, and I enjoyed it. And then I ended up going back to school after the Grey Cup in 2008.
And you ended up coaching for your alma mater, right?
I did. Yeah. I ended up going back to school and getting my master's.
Texas El Paso. What was that like, going back?
Well, going back, it was I didn't know what to expect. Everything changed so much from the last time I was in college. I was a baby when I was in college, and I'm a grown man going back to school with kids, right? So it was a great experience, and being around Mike Price really made me understand that I wanted to be a coach, because he was a hell of a man and a great coach. Mm-hmm.
So you started working for Edmonton in 2013 as a scout, right?
2013 as a Southwest Regional Scout.
Okay, and that's a part-time gig, right?
That's a part-time gig, and I traveled, and it was good.
Were you doing anything else for work at that time?
I was at a high school.
Yeah.
So I was coaching in high school, teaching and coaching in high school.
Yeah.
And that went well.
So you scout for 13, 14, and 15,
mm-hmm.
and then at 16, you get a chance to coach, 2016. How did that come about?
You know what? Actually, I scouted from 13, 14, 15, and then while I was scouting in 15, Missouri Valley College gave me a call. So I started coaching again. And then in 16, after that season in 15, 16, that's when the change happened.
Yeah.
And the position was open, and I called Jason Moss, and I said, "Dude, I want to coach."
Did you know Jason before?
I did. Yeah. I did, playing against him, and you know, just being from California and Arizona, and knowing the same people, mm-hmm. so it all was a good fit that time.
You ever sack him? You remember?
I hit him a few times.
Yeah. And he still hired you?
He still hired me.
Now, you've been coaching here ever since.
Yes.
The one thing that I think is amazing about your coaching record in Edmonton, Jason Moss, Scott Milanovich, Jamie Elizondo, and Chris Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the head coaches, and every one of them said, "I'm keeping Coach Maxey." That doesn't happen very often, because usually when a head coach goes, the staff goes, right?
Yeah.
But you not only defied the odds once, but you defied it like four times. That's something you got to be proud of, I would think, that four coaches come in here and they all want you.
Yeah, I am. I'm proud of that. You know, I really believe in what I do, and I really enjoy what I do, you know, and I'll work hard, and I'll just do all the right things as far as, you know, preparing my guys to the best of their ability, and I believe that they saw that, right? So, you know, I'm not a slacker at any means, and, you know, I'm not afraid to work. I'm not afraid to work. So long as I'm showing that I'm not afraid to work, and that I'm intent, intuitive of everything that I do, then I'm going to have a chance. So, you know, I'm grateful for that opportunity, being here through all of those great guys.
I don't want to tell tales out of school, but next month you're going to turn 50.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You're a football lifer, man. You're living the dream if you're a football guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I enjoy all of this, meeting good people like yourself and just being in this wonderful city. It, you know, Edmonton is home for me. You know what I mean? And you know, I embrace every moment that I have, and I enjoy every moment that I have, just like when I travel, because you never know when that's going to be your last, right? So, you know, I'm grateful.
Okay, let's go way back.
Oh, yeah.
Born in Shreveport, right?
Shreveport, Louisiana.
What was it like growing up there?
You know what? I grew up in multiple places in Louisiana. I was born in Shreveport. I was raised in Florine. We traveled around. My daddy was in the military. So we moved around from New Orleans to Lafayette and Baton Rouge, and we just bounced around there. And then my dad finally got transferred out to California and lived my mid-childhood life in California. So from my sixth grade year all the way up to my 12th grade senior year, I was in California.
I mean, when did football enter your world?
I always played football. You know, I always played football, basketball, and baseball, and wrestled a little bit. But getting serious with football, it didn't happen until high school. So my ninth grade year, that's when I really understood this is what I need to do.
And I'm guessing you didn't start on the D-line?
No, I was a linebacker.
Yeah.
So I started off in linebacker. I was linebacker all the way up until I went to college. And then a player got injured in the game, and then I was the biggest linebacker we had, and they moved me down, and that's where it all started happening.
And 70 CFL sacks later, the rest is history.
There it is.
Do you remember your first sack?
I believe it probably was in Memphis because I had a great game and I got player of the week that game. We played, maybe I think it was like 8 tackles, 2.
Was that Damon pass. Allen then?
I believe it was Damon. No. It wasn't Damon. It was Ricky Foggy.
Ricky Foggy. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty hard guy to catch.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a favorite sack?
Probably whenever we played Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a particular person, but I believe the biggest sack I had was against Damon Allen. I hit him, and that's when we could hit him with our face mask and not get flagged. And I knocked him out, and our face mask was stuck together. And I was in Calgary at the time, and he was in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I have a picture of that.
And how long were you guys stuck?
We were stuck for like 5 minutes because I didn't want to move. I told him, I said, I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah.
I love you, man.
Did you take the helmet off or did you just keep having a conversation while you're stuck?
I was talking to him, making sure he was okay. Yeah. That was it. I know he didn't want to smell my breath, but, hey, he had to deal with it for the moment.
That's great. Tell me about teaching a guy on the D-line how to get to the quarterback. Some guys make it look easy. Some guys struggle with it.
Well, it's a talent and a skill, right? So, you know, you all, and if you're not talented and skilled enough to get to the quarterback, you got to work on your craft every day. So, you know, that's what we try and do as far as, you know, playing a run and being able to play off the run and get to the quarterback. You know, you just got to work on a skill set and a technique. So, you got to be a technician, right? So, you just talk to them and figure out what can they do great, and then you drill it and you work it and you get them great at it and you just let them run away with it, and then they figure out ways how to maneuver around offensive linemen. But I always tell them you got to defeat the man in front of you first, then you figure out everything else after.
Your philosophy is probably your social media, your Twitter bio has a hashtag eliminate the run, hashtag hit the quarterback.
That's right. All day.
That's the philosophy.
That's it. All day.
It makes it sound easy, but it's not.
It's not. It's not easy. But you know what? Like I said, if you work on your craft every day, you can be great at it.
What else does Demetrius Maxey do? What else interests you besides watching video and coaching football and watching games?
That's my life. You know, the thing that I like to do outside of doing that, whenever I have time and it's nice and hot out, go to the lake and just sit back and relax.
Do you spend a lot of the off season in Arizona, or are you here for a lot of it?
I'm probably here 70% of the time. So, you know, I enjoy my time.
You're an Edmontonian.
Yeah, I am. I'm straight out of here.
Great stuff.
I'm Canadian, baby.
Nice. I know. I remember talking to you during COVID, and I was surprised you were spending so much time going back and forth. You're like, you're flying here, 2 weeks in quarantine and doing some work here, flying home, 2 weeks in quarantine, doing some work there.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I enjoy it, man. Like I said, you never know when it's going to end. So,
okay, we do the red zone at the end of Antler Up, Coach Maxey, and that's just 3 questions. Everybody gets the same 3 questions. Okay. And first one is always, the first CFL game you've ever seen.
Ooh, the first CFL game. It was back when I was in high school, and they talked about this guy all the time, was Warren Moon. I don't know who, I believe he was facing Toronto at the time. And the reason why it was talked about so much, because they were talking about that he won the Grey Cup. And as a kid looking at that, I was like, wow, you know, all I knew was the Super Bowl, right? But then I said, oh, it looked like them people are having fun there, because you heard all these horns like they was at a soccer game. So that was my first game. I saw Warren Moon play, and I believe it was the Toronto Argonauts at that time.
All right. He won a lot of great cups, actually.
He won a lot of great cups.
That's true.
He did.
That's cool that he was involved in the first game, and here you are in Edmonton now.
Oh, yeah.
Question number 2 in the red zone is your favorite football memory.
Oof.
And that's watching, playing, coaching?
Probably playing when I was in Baltimore And we won the Grey Cup. We beat Calgary. I sacked Doug Flutie, and it was in Saskatchewan because that game was delayed because of the wind. And I think that was my greatest moment because that was a it was a great victory for me being a pro football player, my first time playing pro football.
Cool. Third and final question. Who's the biggest name in your phone?
I have so many. Probably Coney Ealy.
Coney Ealy.
Coney Ealy.
And you're saying that because he's standing right behind
exactly,
you?
Exactly, and he'll beat me up.
All right, I'll accept that. Coach Maxey, great to talk to you. Thanks for sharing with us today. Appreciate
Thank you, Murray. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, that's Antler Up for this week. Don't forget to like, subscribe, hit the share button as well so everyone else can find out about Antler Up, and be sure to join us next week. Go back in the archives as well. Here's some of the other episodes. Kevin Brown was our guest last week, Jake Serezna, I believe, a week before that. So go back and have a listen to some of those, and thanks again for downloading and listening. For Coach Demetrius Maxey, I'm Morley Scott. I'll see you next time on Antler Up.
Touchdown, Antler Up, Edmonton, touchdown Elks. Taylor Cornelius takes it himself as he got an open lead to the end zone. Antler Up, Edmonton, touchdown.